Welcome to day 223. We are up to Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah Tes, and it's a very exciting day because Amir Tzashem, we are finishing Maseches Trumos. And we've learned previously that you're not allowed to destroy or ruin Truma in any way. And one of the manifestations of that halacha is that when it comes to Truma, a produce that is generally eaten by people, you are not allowed to feed that Truma to animals. That would be considered using it for a lesser purpose, and therefore ruining Truma. We're going to see in our Mishnah that there might be an exception to that halacha. Says Mishnah Tes, Karshine Truma, when it comes to a particular type of plant that is generally used as animal fodder. Now, it can't be that it's exclusively used as animal fodder because then it wouldn't even be eligible to become truma. So it must be that it's primarily used as animal fodder, but sometimes, maybe in extenuating circumstances, it might be eaten by people and therefore it can be truma. So you have this food that is generally fodder that has the status of truma. Machilino sam lebehema. A kohen is allowed to feed this to his domesticated animals or to his ulachaya, to his wild animals, l'tarnegolim, and to his chickens. Now, Yisrael shesecha parmi kohen, if a Yisrael rented a cow from a kohen, machila kashini truma. He's allowed to feed this this truma fodder to the animals because it really belongs to the kohen. Remember, a Yisrael is we're not allowed to. When we say that we're allowed to feed truma fodder to animals, it's specifically animals that belong to a kohen. So if a Yisrael is renting an animal from a kohen, it still belongs to the kohen, and therefore the Yisrael is allowed to feed that animal with truma fodder. The kohen shesach parmi Yisrael, but if a kohen is renting it from a Yisrael, even though the Kohen is responsible for feeding that animal that belongs to the Yisrael, still, it belongs to the Yisrael. It doesn't belong to the Kohen. And therefore, lo yachilenu kashinik truma, you're not allowed to feed it truma fodder. Now, we're going to have a weird arrangement that has interesting halakhic implications. Yisrael shasham para mi Kohen. Yisrael, who is taking on the responsibility, evaluates the worth of an animal, and takes on the responsibility to feed the animal and to increase its value, generally, by making it a more robust, a more gesunt animal. So the Yisrael looks at a cow that a Kohen has and says, I'm going to take the responsibility of this cow to increase its value. And when it does, I'm going to split the profit with you of the increase. But along with that deal is that the person, the Kohen, is also taking on responsibility in case the cow becomes less valuable. In case the cow becomes thinner, the Yisrael will owe however much it decreased, will owe that amount back to the Kohen. So the Yisrael is really taking responsibility for this cow. So, Yisrael shesham parami Kohen, lo yachilenu kashine truma. The Yisrael, even though it belongs to the Kohen, the Yisrael is not allowed to feed it a truma. Why? We said previously that if it belongs to the Kohen, he is, because in this case, the Yisrael is taking full responsibility for the animal, and therefore it's like it's his in this moment. And similarly, the Kohen Shasham Parami Yisrael, if a Kohen does the same arrangement with a cow that belongs to a Yisrael, Ma'achidah Karshina Truma, the Kohen is allowed to feed that animal Truma. Doesn't it belong to the Yisrael? The answer is yes, but the Kohen is taking on the full responsibility, and therefore is allowed to feed it Truma. That is Mishnah Tes, and now on to Mishnah Yud, the very last Mishnah of our Masechta. We know that when it comes to Truma Tameya, impure truma, a kohen is not allowed to consume it. It has to be burned, but the kohen is allowed to get benefit from that burning. But Chazal tell us that is only true by a kohen. A non-kohen, a Yisrael, is not allowed to get benefit from burning the truma tamei oil. Our Mishnah is going to give exceptions to that rule. Says Mishnah Yud, Madlikin Shemen Sreifa, you're allowed to burn this. Shemen Sreifa is oil that's going to be burned, meaning it's referring to the truma tamei oil. So you're allowed to burn that oil, Bavate Knesios, in shuls to light it up or to provide heat. And that's even if there aren't any kohanim there. The shul can be entirely full of only Yisraelim. And similarly, Bavate Midrashos, and in study halls, Mavoas HaAfelin, and in dark alleyways, in all of those cases, it is for the benefit of the masses. And therefore, it's an exception to the rule. Even if it's not benefiting any kohanim, it's still allowed to be lit. Val gavi acholin, if it's above someone who is ill, birshus hakohen, you're allowed to light it as long as there's a kohen there. If there's a kohen there, then it's like you're lighting it for the kohen, and then the cholid, the person who's ill, is allowed to get benefit from it as well. Now, as many mefarshim point out, it doesn't only mean a cholid, it's not limited to a cholid. The truth is, if there's a kohen there and you're lighting the candle for a kohen, in any case, a person would be allowed to get benefit. It's just that's the common case where you might want to light a candle for a kohen, and therefore that's what the Mishnah talks about. Another important disclaimer is that is only true that you need a kohen there if the lighting the candle is really only for convenience. If there's a really life and death situation, if it's a health issue, then of course you'd be allowed to light it even if a kohen wasn't there. We assume that's not our case. Continues the Mishnah, Bas Yisrael, a Jewish woman who is not, not a Jewish woman, a Bas Yisrael, that's usually referred to, but a Yisrael, a non-Kohen woman, Shenises the Kohen, that marries a Kohen. Now we know that she's allowed to eat Truma. V'hid limuda eats Aviyah, but she's constantly visiting her father's house. Aviyah Madlik Birshusa, her father, who's a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, is allowed to light this Truma Tam, Truma Tameha oil in her presence. Again, she's allowed to get benefit from it because she is a Kohen, and she has the status of a Kohen, and therefore, once it's being lit for her, the father's allowed to get benefit from it as well. Now we're going to end our Masechta with a Machlokes that has four different opinions, a four Machlokes. Says the Mishnah, Madlikin Bebeis HaMishta, you're allowed to light this oil at a Beis HaMishta, as a place that you're having a feast, let's say a wedding hall, of Alo Bebeis HaAvel, but not in a house of mourning. The assumption is that there are many Yisraelim in each one of these places, and there's a Kohen, there's at least one Kohen as well. So at a wedding, you'd be allowed to light it because there's a Kohen there. That's just the halacha that we saw. As long as there's a Kohen, you're allowed to get benefit from it. But you would not be allowed to light it at a house of mourning, even if there is a Kohen there. So why not? So it seems, Yerushalmi says, that the key here is that people often move candles. And the fear is that Yisrael might remove the candle from that space, away from the Kohen. And therefore, at that point, the Kohen would not be getting any benefit from it. And therefore, it would only be the Yisrael benefit from it. And that would be a major problem. So the question is, how likely is it in each scenario that the candle will be moved? This first opinion, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda says that at a Beis Mishta, at a wedding hall, people would not move the candles because it can get messy and people are wearing very nice clothing. They don't want to ruin their clothing. And at a Beis Avel, people are not wearing very nice clothing. So there is the likelihood that a person might move it away without any regard for their clothing, and that would be a problem. So even if there is a Kohen at a house of mourning, you would not be allowed to move it. That is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says the opposite. Beis Avel, you're allowed to. Aval lo Beis Mishta, you're allowed to light it at a Beis Avel, not in a Beis Mishta. Why? What's the difference? At a Beis HaAvel, the disposition is different. At a Beis HaAvel, the person is so sad, they're not interested in moving candles, it's very unlikely that it's going to be moved. But at a party, things get crazy, I guess, and people might move candles, and therefore you would not be allowed to light it at a Beis HaMishta. Rabbi Meir, Oser Kan V'Kan, Rabbi Meir says that in both situations, you have to prohibit it, meaning you have to be worried about the possibility in each scenario. So in a Beis HaMishta, you have to be worried that people might move it because it's a crazy time, it's a wild party. And at a Beis HaAvel, you have to be worried that people might move it because they're not wearing nice clothing. Rabbi Shimon, Matir Vakan Vakan, Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's mutter in both cases. You can apply the leniencies in both cases. At a wedding, people wouldn't move it because they're wearing nice clothing. And at a Beis HaAvel, people wouldn't move it because they're so distraught. They're not thinking about moving candles. That is the end of our Masechta. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Hadran Alach, Maseches Trumas will return to you. And we will start in Yitz Hashem, Maseches Maestros, tomorrow.